Well, as I was going to prayer last night and asking the Lord what to preach about, man, he gave me the answer just that quick. And that's nice, because sometimes I have to pray for quite a while to find out what the Lord wants me to give a message on. And so if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles today, it's found in the book of Matthew. And I believe it's the 19th chapter, verses 16 through 30. And you know, we're celebrating our 4th of July weekend. It is a weekend that, you know, we just have all kinds of things available to us. I mean, we have fireworks and all kinds of parade and music and celebration. And it's a celebration that there were those that over 200 years ago fought and died for our independence, that we might be able to have the freedoms and the rights that we have. And you know, I was talking to my sister-in-law, Debbie, when she got back from her 45-day trip to Europe. And I said, what did you miss the most? Yeah, she's back. Yeah, 45 days. I mean, she got back on the 17th of June. And she says, you know, this might sound really strange, because I know a lot of people say they go overseas and they come back because the first thing they want to get is fast food, because they missed fast food or, you know, something of our own culture. But she said what she missed the most was her everyday necessities that we take for granted. We take for granted that we can go in the other room and, you know, if there's something that needs to be washed and we have a washer and dryer right there, you know, we can just put it in. And she says, oh no, not where they were staying. You know, you did your laundry maybe once a week and you had to hike way far away because that wasn't one of the regular luxuries that they had. And she says, and just other simple things like driving on a road that was not full of potholes, you know, just all over the place. Now, I know there might be a little bit different out here in the country. But, you know, over in the city, people buy Humvees in case there's too big a pothole in the road. You know, you never know when you might have to go around it up on the curb. You need that big four-wheel drive for that. And so it got me thinking, you know, what Christ had me to give, and it was, we have all these luxuries, all these things in our life, and we are pretty blessed. And according to the rest of the world, we're a very affluent society. Even, I will tell you right now, how many people here have ever traveled to third world countries and seen the poor? Tell me if you agree with me here. The poor here have nothing on the poor in the third world countries. They think they're poor. They would be considered middle class in these other countries because we have those niceties, those luxuries. And Christ was introduced to a man quite a few years ago who was trying to figure out how to obtain eternal life. And this was a man that had means. And so let's follow along in the book of Matthew and see what Christ has to say. It says here, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I might have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, well, thou shalt not do murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. And what shall we have therefore? Can you imagine asking Christ that? But Christ, we gave up everything. Gave it all up. I gave up my fishing business. I walked away from my family, my home. I was affluent. What's going to be for me? That's what he's saying in modern day terms. If you ever saw the movie Field of Dreams, he said, What's in it for me? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, and children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And this is the scripture that the Lord gave me. For you see, we look upon this man as a rich man. The people of Guatemala that were poor, for everybody that's sitting here today, I don't care if you have $5 in your bank account or $5 million in your account, they would look upon you as wealthy. Why? Is there any family here that does not have an automobile? Is there any family here that doesn't go over to the switch and turn a switch on and you have electricity to turn on lights at night? Is there anybody here that doesn't have some sort of communication device in your pocket or in your purse or in your truck? Is there anybody here that has gone hungry for the last 3 or 4 days? I obviously have not. For you see, they look upon us as wealthy. Wealth is in the eye of the beholder to the one that they are looking at, to what their status is. If your clothes do not have holes in them, I don't care if they're brand new or not. When I visited Mexico and lived in Mexico for 4 months and Venezuela for 6 months and was in Korea and Taiwan, they had no floors in their houses. The floors were very hard pan dirt, scraped to keep clean as possible. The walls, most of the time, were not made of wood or cinder block. Most of the time, for the very poor, they were made of cardboard or corrugated metal of some sort, just hoping to keep some of the elements off of them. And I look around and I think to myself, oh, woe is me. My house is only 1,400 square feet. It's a horrible thing for me to think. Because Christ said that we need to, or Paul says that we need to become content with what we have. Does he not? Be happy with what we have. Because the thing I have found out about in life, whatever our plight is, there is somebody that has a plight a little bit worse. So what do we know about this young man? We know that he's young, true? Because it says in the scripture right there is young. But the same story is also found in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, it calls him a ruler, a ruler. And it says that he's wealthy, a rich young ruler. And notice that when he's talking to Christ, he says, What must I do to have this eternal life? Because he heard the stories that Christ was giving. He heard the stories that Christ was giving. And he said, What should I do? And Christ says, Well, keep these five commandments. And did you notice which five he said? You should not steal, bear false witness, all these. Christ gave all the commandments that dealt with man's duty to another man or woman to another woman. He didn't quote any of the scriptures that pertain to man's duty unto God. Christ knew this young man was a ruler. He knew he was in charge over a lot of people. And the man said to him, Well, sir, everything that you've told me to do, I have done since my youth. And according to the law he had, honored his mother and father. According to the law, he had never stolen. According to the law, he had never borne false witness against somebody else. He had kept all of those. But Christ made a point, even if it's in situation more than it is in verbiage, a saying the law is not enough. Because you might have kept them outwardly, but inside you haven't. And how do I know this? Ah, because I research. There's an old gospel that never made it into the gospels when they were canonizing the Bible, and it was, so you're not going to have it on your screen. It was found in the gospel according to the Hebrews. And I want you to hear this particular version of it. It says, the second of the rich men said to him, Master, what good thing can I do and live? And he said unto him, O man, fulfill the law and the prophets. And he answered and said, I've kept them. And he said unto them, Go sell all that you own and distribute it unto the poor, and come and follow me. But the rich man began to scratch his head because it didn't please him. And the Lord said to him, How do you say then that you have kept the law and the prophets? For it is written in the law that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And lo, many of your brethren, sons of Abraham, are clad in filth, dying of hunger. And yet your house is full of many good things. And not at all, none of it goes out to them. There is what Christ is saying. He goes on to say then, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. You have to understand this part of the story too. In the cities were the big main gate, huge main gate, that all the animals could pass through as well as man. But when night fell, they would close the main gate, and the only gate left open into the city was a small and narrow gate. Most of the time it was called the needle, according to Scripture. It was a needle, the gate of the needle. And even a man trying to get through that needle gate would have to hunch down very, very low to try to get into the town after hours. It's not that it's impossible for a wealthy person to enter into the kingdom of heaven, for we know of Joseph of Arimathea, we know of Nicodemus, we know of Zacharias, all of those entered into the kingdom of heaven. We know that Matthew was a wealthy tax collector, had a very nice home. We know that Peter had his own fishing business. And wood was not a common commodity back there. To own a boat or a fleet of boats took some money. And that's why Peter stood up and said, Excuse me, am I doing this all for nothing then? Because that's really what he's asking. What's in it for me? I gave up my fishing business. I've left my wife. Okay, I gave up my fishing business. I'm kidding. and there were other men that left their homes and their children, and they went and followed. They said, So what's in it for me? He says, You will be part of my resurrection. You'll be part of my kingdom. You will sit over the 12 tribes of Israel, and what you have given up, you will receive 100-fold. For anybody that gives up father, brother, mother, sister, wife, family, land, possessions, whatever you give up, you will get back. What Christ is truly saying there is that He loves us, and the Father loves us. He doesn't care how much we own. He just cares that we put Him above all the other things. See, because there is a danger in wealth. There is a danger in obtaining riches on this earth. So you ask me, Marty, what are those dangers? Let me tell you. Number one, when we start to accumulate a little or a lot, we start to put a false confidence of our independence lying in those things. Let me give you this example. Who here, if the Lord said to you, sell your car, give the money to whoever it happens to be, or just go give your car to somebody, they need it. Who here would just do it right off the bat? No takers, okay? That's a larger object, isn't it? Who has another favorite thing? Just name one other thing, household item in your house. Your television. You have one television in your house. It's a brand new flat screen LCD. It cost you $2,500. And you're starting to hang it up, and the Lord puts on your heart, sister and brother so-and-so, television just conked out. Go give them this new television. Who here would give them that brand new television? Okay. So you have less, you have less attachment to the television than you have the car. But I want you to notice the similarity there. One, because it was dollar-wise a little bit less, and you can replace it, Or you don't always have to watch television every day, but you have to have your car to get from A to B. Right? So you weren't quite so willing. In fact, none of you were willing at all to give up a car. I'm not faulting you. This is the way it is. It doesn't matter. And as we look around, as I look around this congregation today, we have all different social economic people here. But it doesn't matter if your car is worth $1,500 or if your car is worth $15,000 or if your car is worth $45,000. It has a specific value to you. But the key in that question was this: if God put it on your heart. And this is what Christ is talking about. We cannot have the things that he's given to us, allowed us to own, become so valuable to us that it is more valuable than abiding by what he tells us to do. Fortunately, probably none of you here have ever had the Lord put on your heart to give away your car. But we have this thing coming up called Pennies from Heaven. I'm not picking on anybody here. There are some here, though, that will, before they give the pennies from heaven, they will make sure they have a garage sale first to make sure they glean whatever dollar value they can out of their garage sale before they have, or before they decide to give those leftover items to Pennies from Heaven. If that's what's on your heart, that's what's on your heart. But how much more blessed would it be than when the Lord has given you what you have? Like I said before, I don't care what your social economic status is. But when the Lord has blessed you and me with what we have and then has given us the ability to replace it, what a blessing it is to provide it to somebody else without wanting anything in return. That's the blessing of the pennies from heaven, is that we don't ask for anything back. We take things that, yeah, they still might be valuable to us, but you know what? If I give them to this person, they become valuable to that person. I just gave a little bit of Christ away. I gave a little bit of my heart away because my heart does not lie in that. It lies in helping other people. Christ did not come to this world to save GM. He didn't come here to save Goldman Sachs or Bank of America. Christ came to this world to save you and me. See, because he gave up all that he had. Every last bit of it. He gave up his throne. He gave up his position. He gave up his angels. He gave up his relationship with the Father at the end, being cut off from him completely by the Spirit for 3 days and three nights. For what? For me? Why? So that I can have everlasting life with him. So this was the message that he was giving to them. Don't hold on so tight to what you have and make it more important. I am more important. The things of this world, guess what they do? They handcuff us to this world. They do. They bind us. Years ago, when I was blessed to receive as part of an inheritance a share of our cabin in Lake Tahoe, when we sold it, all of a sudden, I had money I'd never had before. I don't have it now. But here's what I experienced at that time. I was just as worried about what to do with it as I was before I had it and how I could get it. It's amazing. If I have to worry about one of the two, I'd rather worry about what I'm going to do with it than about how to have it, because it's always a lot more fun to have it and then figure it out. But the Lord provided it for some tough times that came down the road for us. But don't go out and just buy stuff that's going to make you bound to that stuff. Use it according to how God wants you to use it. The other thing that it has to do with is money at times has a tendency to make people selfish. Money can bring out an inner personality of people. Drugs do that too, by the way. Because Bill Cosby, I heard him in one of his outings one time, said he was in the hospital visiting a friend of his that had been admitted from overdosing with cocaine. And he went to his friend and he says, "Why in the world are you doing cocaine?" And he says, "Well, I found that it enhanced my personality." And I'm cleaning this up. And Mr. Cosby looked at him and says, "Yeah? Well, you were a jerk before you ever started." Money can accentuate some of your deep down personality that can make you not so likable to other people. I had two different grandmothers. One grandmother thought nothing of herself and always gave to other people. And one thought of nothing of other people and always thought for herself. Total opposite spectrums, and I'm really not kidding here. The grandmother and grandfather that were all giving were also very wealthy. And so the one grandmother that was, she did okay in life, but she always thought of herself. She thought the reason that the grandchildren loved this set of grandparents more was because they had money and they provided them things. And I will sit here and tell you today, we could have been dirt poor. It didn't matter, because the richest thing my grandparents gave us was love and gave themselves. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to give love to each other. So what things could we go without today to serve Christ? Could we put down that cell phone and that texting for an hour? Yeah, I tease with my wife because every now and then I feel like that's the only way we can communicate. Now, I'll be in one room, she'll be in the other, and I'll text her. Why? The ball game's going on. Or I'll be sitting down, we'll be sitting outside having a cup of coffee, and she's texting away or Facebooking. She doesn't Facebook anybody, but she reads Facebook. And I'll be trying to talk to her, and it's like, She's not saying uh-huh to me, she's saying uh-huh to Facebook. I guess after 15 years, that's our communication. Can we turn off the sporting event? Can we pick up somebody that needs a ride? Can we provide a meal to somebody? We don't have to give up all, but what we can, we can give up our selfishness, our feeling of this is mine and nobody's going to take it away. We have to understand it's not ours. It's God's. He gave it to us in the first place. He allowed you to possess it. Now, you might have had to sweat and work really hard to possess the things that you have. But God allowed you to perspire and work really hard and have that opportunity. But in the end, it is His. And in the end, we can't take it with us. But what we can leave behind is our legacy and how people view us. And do they want us to be known? Do you want to be known as someone who gave not of themselves, but someone that gave it all, just as our Heavenly Father gave His Son, Jesus Christ? They both gave it all. Jesus was His only begotten Son, and Jesus laid it all down for His Father, for us. He did not do anything that He has not asked us to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.